Go Mobile.
14-0-TR.
And a W-2-T.
I'm just sitting there, finished a cup of coffee and some German nut roll and watching Bat Masterson.
Well, I just left Shane's Rib Shack where I had a nice heaping health, thinking of some good barbecued pork and some macaroni and cheese to go with it and a drink, and I'm full and happy and headed back to the house to see what kind of trouble I get into this afternoon. See if there's anything worth any trying to hunt down on the radio today.
You just come in maybe a half hour ago. I haven't even looked, Rusty. I'm just sitting here looking at airplanes and that. It's a thing I read. And read the Greer Citizen a little bit. That's a good newspaper. And I can look over there and see what's going on QRZ. Where's that barbecue place at?
I'm over here, and you know where Sam's Club is. If you were to go down, just go past Sam's Club and go to underneath the 26 to the next intersection where the traffic light is there at the Blackstock Road. You take a right on Blackstock Road, and you go down to the next intersection, which is where Blackstock intersects with John B. White Boulevard. There's a little, if you look catty corner across the street on the left-hand side, there's a little strip shopping center there. And Shane's is located right in there. There's an Arby's right at the entrance to it there. You turn in by the Arby's, and you pull down through there, and it's Shane's. And they've got all kinds of, they got lunches and things, that you can get that have a, they got a basket, their basket comes with meat and two sides and a drink for, about $9 or $10, $11 at the max. So, good deal.
Maybe one of these times when we're over to Sam's, we'll go down there. I don't know. Barbecue sounds good, though. I was trying to think of something I wanted for lunch. There's a place down towards Amy's, but it's pretty good drive. It's about 14 miles down there, and I hate to get out in the traffic that much. But, we went during rush hour last night, though, and it really wasn't that bad. This place is just hard to get in and out of. It's right down there by a little German restaurant at 14 and Pelham.
Right now coming in, I was waiting on a car to decide. Guy in lane in front of me, he had the green light with the green turn arrow, and he was still sitting there watching the car coming at him across the way, which didn't have anything but a red light. So I tried to figure out what he was going to do as to whether he was going to back up or he was going to turn and hit me. But, you're a little bit noisy right now.
Green watts, and so I'm getting into it good. I think it's just, you get around those stoplights at times, and they just are not good. And they have a lot of PLCs and stuff like that to control them that can interfere, although they're in a metal box. I don't know why they would.
It must be a very cold thing.
It dipped down in, and I guess that did it too. So, yeah, you're getting it just fine now. Driving along here on the road, looking at these houses on the left-hand side over here, where all these people are putting up fences so you can't see their backyards from the road.
The devil sounded like Jerry. Go ahead.
He must have been on here, and he was full quiet and before you got back to him. Into here anyway, it's kind of dicey. Sometimes last night the repeater sounded real scratchy to me, and today it sounds perfectly fine in 4DJC.
Good afternoon, Jerry, and Tom. Good afternoon to you. It's kind of nice out here. It got up warmer today than they thought. It's showing 61 degrees out here, and I was over visiting with Tom yesterday. He was helping me. And we were putting a radio, so I was starting to have withdrawal pains no HF, no 2 meter radio in my car, in my new car for the last week. So got it installed yesterday and it's working good. I got my mic place mounted top. Took two little tiny holes, and then I got some screws that are, you know, point real good pointed ends, and screwed them in, and they're holding it in. And hey, I'm in business, so here. Go ahead, Tom.
This is Rusty. I'm glad you got that on. And Rusty got a new vehicle, Jerry. Oh, we had fun doing that yesterday. It wasn't too bad. You know how new vehicles are. And I'm just sitting here. I was looking at QRZ, Rusty, and don't see a whole lot on there. They're running the 12 Days of Christmas things at night, which are U.S. stations. I've worked a few of them. They're one-by-one calls. And then today starts a Russian 160-meter contest, so I might listen out on that tonight. But I don't have much hopes on DX, but maybe I'd like to try out my new 160-meter inverted L. Well, it's a beautiful day, Jerry. 61 degrees up here in the north. How's your day going?
Oh, we picked up some shrimping oysters down here at the Hook Seafood downtown. Oh, not downtown, near the Anderson Mall. It's feeling pretty good. We can get a combination platter there for about $10 and appease both of us. Pretty well, the oysters there, well, fried oysters there are quite good, actually. They're not overdone, overcooked like a lot of them are. And yeah, they're good. Like I said, they're plenty enough for most senior appetites, not all of them. And I went to see my other specialist yesterday morning, and he said he thought it might be able to help me, but I'm going to be cautious about whether or not I have that. He's talking about that laser treatment for the enlarged prostate. So I'm going to think about it for a while, but he said he could do it. They do it. They actually do that. When he was at the location in Greenville, they actually do that particular laser treatment in Greer, which is where you go, I'm sure. But anyway, it was sounding good. He said there was no rush to do it. Everything else looked good, and my wife, Lynn, got her stitches in her back out of the dermatologist yesterday, so she's got that patch off her back now that was itching her to no end. So we're both in better spirits today, but it's kind of chilly this morning. It was pretty reasonably decent today at lunchtime. How about you, Rusty?
Okay, Joe, I'm about to the house. I was going to tell you, you missed it yesterday. You talked about going to dermatologist. That's where KB4CBA was headed yesterday. And Tom and I were both giving him a harassment about maybe he should have that ugly spot in the middle of his face, that pointed one in the middle of his face, removed when he was down there. He didn't take too kindly to that. Tom can tell you what else he said. Well, I'm getting ready to pull into the yard. I got to get out and get some things done because I'm running behind schedule today. So I'll talk to both of you later. Inspiral TR to take it, W2T. 73s for now.
Oh, Dave takes it in stride. He gives it out as much as he takes it. I told him, I asked him if I was a maxillofacial dermatologist. But Rusty was talking on the radio and he didn't hear me. But he's quite good humored. Anyways, and I got to go to 1-2 every now and then. In fact, I got to go to 1 Thursday. But don't have any lumps or bumps to take off this time. But did you see where that small plane crashed up on I-26 last night, Jerry? Boy, it was a ball of fire. I guess he went through some power lines.
I did not see it. I was doing something with the computer. Wasn't even watching the news. I didn't see that. I didn't check it. A lot of times I don't look at the local news very much because I get about all I can take anyway online without checking that on TV. But I'll have to look at that. That's terrible if that's the case. I got my stitches out about 2 weeks ago, and they told me to go ahead and take the Yeah, put those steering strips, and by the way, Rusty, good talking to you if you're still around. Catch you next time around. They left those on after they took the stitches out, and so I put them on when they took the stitches out, because I had 14 just above my ankle there. It never did really bother me. Mine didn't itch like Les did with the tape and so forth. But I took the steering strips off yesterday. It looks, it's a scar. It ain't real pretty, but they do a good job because they do those big ones. It was just a tiny spot. When they do an excision, they size a good bit. It's about 2.5 centimeters long by centimeter wide or something like that, and about half centimeter deep. So, they took out a big chunk. All the margins are clear, which is good for me. But mine's doing fine, and hers is, she only had 3 stitches. She had a little cyst. I think they got an epidermal cyst. It'd been bothering for a while, and I said, you need to go and get that thing out. And they took it out. It was about the size of a quarter, I think. Of course, it was all benign. Those generally are anyway. So we're more or less on the road to recovery. And the pancreatic guy said the lesion, they found him in the pancreas. He said, that's just incidental. And he said, we'll check it out in the year. It's not anything to be concerned about right now. I wouldn't lose sleep over it. So, overall, I got some pretty good news the last couple of weeks, Tom.
Jerry, I heard that was high frequency ultrasound, is what they use, not laser down there. But, in fact, I think it was you that told me that, and then I asked the doctor about it, and he said he'd heard of it, but didn't know much about it. But at any rate, I'm going to ask him next time my appointment comes up in January and see what he says about that. But it sounds like it's a million times better than having radiation, so that's a good deal. Well, I had the news on when we come upstairs, and it was getting close to 10:30 or so, and it showed a picture of a big flame out in the middle of I-26. And I know this morning, it was on Fox Local News, Channel 21 here, and down there by I-85 here in Greer. And this morning, they had I-26 shut down completely, and it was a mess up there. It was right up near the airport, and to my knowledge, it was a single-engine plane, and I think there was 4 people in it. But I don't know what the report was on their condition, so it'll be on at 4 o'clock anyways, Jerry, for sure.
My daughter's home this afternoon. She's the assistant news director at Channel 4, so I'm sure she knows about it. It happened yesterday. She worked late yesterday, I know. We're going to keep my granddaughter, grandson yesterday afternoon. Granddaughter came up with a strep, and she's also had the flu, but she didn't run a fever or anything. The doctor said she must have one heck of an immune system. I think they gave her one pill wonder they give them now to give her. She was just tired. I think she's feeling a lot better today. And so we didn't stay yesterday. We had two appointments in the same day. But that high-frequency ultrasound, the guy that does that at Prisma is in Greenville. And you ought to get online to the Prisma website and look up Dr. Patrick Springhart. He's got it's like a podcast that they did with it, a question-and-answer session with him on that particular procedure. And it is really, mine is just reduction of the size. And with that hole-up razor, they kind of go from outside in instead of inside out, like some of the other procedures do to open up that area. But the high frequency ultrasound just targets specific lesions. So if they got one, you've already had a 3D MRI guided deal. So they just use that 3D MRI to target the specific lesions and just do that. And it can be done multiple times. It doesn't affect you like, if you have radiation done, they won't do surgery on you again. It is what I've always heard. And they can do it multiple times. It leaves you other options. Should something more serious crop up, gives you a lot more options to do that. But it's something new. And it's they have the Focal One in Greenville, not at the Greer. I think Springheart may be the only guy that does that, but he's one of the main. He probably is a vein urologist in the in that practice anyway. But you ought to look that up and listen to that podcast or read the transcript of it. It's really interesting what he said it could be done. And there's not many hospitals anywhere that have that either. Something, they may have one at Duke, for instance, or maybe Wake or someplace like that, but there's not many of them in the area at all.
Jerry, do you spell his last name like common spelling spring and then the word heart, S-P-R-I-N-G-H-E-A-R-T? I wrote that down.
S-P-R-I-N-G-H-A-R-T. He's a young fellow, and he is an extremely good physician. I mean, the time I've been to see him twice since, I believe, April maybe, both times he spent about 45 minutes, an hour with him, which is just very unusual with anybody. And he is really thorough when he does it. He said, because he told me, he said, I can do, what he does is like robotic prostatectomies, you know, separate prostatectomies. He said, I can do that. He said, but he recommended me to the guy that they, as a matter of fact, they just got this other guy in, Dr. Lawrence. He came in from University of Indiana Health System, and he is a specialist in this whole limb procedure. He said he might be able to do it. If he could do it, he said it'd be a lot easier if you'd have it done by him, because it's just a transurethral type rather than going, you know, they don't have to do any incisions. With that laser, they can kind of tack up any bleeding or anything in there, so the chances of having any problems with, you know, excessive bleeding like you do with some of these traditional surgeries is much better. But the other one doesn't involve any cutting at all. The treating the lesions, he said, you think of it as kind of like a, matter of fact, he made it out, it was like a dermatologist treating a spot on your face. He said, we're treating just the spot, not the whole thing.
Had the 3D MRI, but he talked like he was going to do another one, and he said, oh, no. He said, Tom, that's real slow girl. And he says, we'll wait and check your PSA there in January and then go from there. But that's before I heard anything about this other procedure. I don't even think it was here. I'll check this guy's website out. Just Google that Dr. Patrick Springheart. And mine just had one little area, and it said 15% on that one little area up at the top, you know, in that picture they draw of it. And I said I wasn't anxious to do that anyways, but he'd probably do another one before he'd done the surgery, but that, well, if you want to call it surgery. But if that's an option, I'll let him do it, by golly. And what hospitals he practice at, Jerry?
In Greenville. And just look him up on the Prisma site. That'll, if you click on it, you'll see that if his hands, like, it's got several options to look at up under his name, and it's got, like, any papers he did, and it'll pop up under that. And like I said, it's really interesting the way he's, like I said, he's very thorough. He had me have a CAT scan done, and that's how they found these other things, just incidentally with a CAT scan with contrast. And the other doctor I saw at the same Prisma, he's actually at the Cancer Institute, but his specialty is pancreatic cancer. And he'd already seen everything, looked at it, and showed it. You know, since they're all connected together, time they can look at any of the MRIs or CAT scans you've had done there for the facility. They can see all the scans you've had and look at it. He had the scan up front of him. He said, this is where this is. He said, it's just at the edge of being small, rather than a medium being small. There's nothing, no suspicious characteristics. He said, we'll watch it, and we'll have it done again in a year. And we'll watch it, and if anything changes, then we'll look into something. But, you know, pancreatic surgery is not for the faint of heart, dangerous. And so at my age, they wouldn't, unless it was something aggressive, they wouldn't want to do anything to it. The same thing with anything to do with prostate. If you have a if you have a section in there and your Gleason's low, sometimes they'd rather do that, leave it alone, but rather do it, go in and start cutting. And if this other procedure is something, providing that the insurance pays for it, if this other procedure can just target that lesion only, and since it doesn't use radiation, it uses ultrasound, you know, it leaves you options for other options later on in case something does, you know, as I said before, become aggressive. And like I said, they're all in the same, your doctor and my two urology specialists, they're all in the same Prisma group. Spring Heart recommended me to this other guy that does the whole laser surgery, because it's like it's a fairly simple procedure. So they can, it's all in the same area, you know, they all look at the same charts and that sort of thing.
Appreciate all the information. If he's on the Prisma site, I think you said he was at Greer or down at the big hospital. Well, I'm just 6 miles, I think, from the Greer hospital, so that's excellent.
I'm at the Greenville site. The surgery, the whole lip surgery, which is just for reduction of prostate, he does that at the Greer site, but Dr. Springhart does this other stuff at the Greenville site. So he's just off Parrish Road there. They got one big area then that's got multiple doctors there, just below the regular Greenville hospital system. And they, like I said, they're all in that one thing. It's easy to get in and out and pretty convenient. It's just off of, as you come in off 185, like you head on to Mills Avenue, it's right there on the right. It's easy to get there, even from either direction. But the new guy I saw yesterday for the other, Dr. Lawrence, and like I said, he was at the Greenville location, but he said I think the surgery, the operation stuff is, I think other people have booked up his Greenville. He said he did, he could do that in Greer, because it's not the same. You know, the equipment is not the same. It uses it's a whole HOLEP laser. It doesn't use the same technology as the other one does. Instead of going from inside out, it goes, you got the peeling rind on one side. This one goes from inside that rind outside to inside. That way you can get what you need out of it. It'll work on any size. And if you had a particular large one, it works on large ones, and some of the other procedures don't, and the recovery time is faster and that sort of thing. So, I'm looking at that. I may have it done maybe this spring. I don't like to say there's no rush to do it, and I want to really thoroughly investigate anything before they start doing anything like that.
Any assistance, well, just holler, Jerry. I'll be glad to come down and give him a hand.
We don't need to. Don't bring the roto-rooter now.
I was thinking about some Drano or something. I think that'd be a good option, Jerry. And we'll keep that in mind. Thanks for all the info. But this doctor I got down there, I can't even remember his name right at the moment. Got it on the calendar over here. He really seems like he's at the top of his game, and he's young. So I thought it was in January, but Margut, Dr. Margette. Urology, and that's not until February 26th. So, I'm going to worry about it. Doesn't do any good to worry about it. Just wait and see what he says. And the Gleason scale was 3+3, and it equals 6, of course, and they said that was as good as you could get.
Gleason, that's about as good as you can get. And, the thing with these, you have to have those biopsies done. I mean, it's one thing, it's a little dangerous because of the possibility of infection and that sort of thing. And in my case, the doctor I was put with yesterday said, we just about rule out, you may have some, but it's more likely, he said, since you have something with a PSA that's low and very remote, he said, well, not only that, he said, we could do a biopsy, but if it's such a large size, the chances are you would not hit it because they don't know where it is. They're just taking cores and looking at it. But when they do that 3D MRI, then they can see where it is and target it. That makes a big difference. It's the same way with the lesions. You know, they, when they use that high frequency ultrasound, they know they're not just, you know, picking spots 16, 12 cores and just putting the needles in and, you know, aspirating and doing the biopsy that way. They know where it is. Because it shows up on color 3D MRI, shows up on the MRI. And with that machine, they can just take out, you know, just hit it in certain areas without destroying the whole thing and without having to do any cutting. And I just thought it was pretty amazing. They only do that for cancer, though. They don't do it just for, you know, reduction. That's, reduction is done the other way. But for somebody that has one, if they don't have other problems, the way to do it is do that. And of course, he says if I had mine done, if I had the reduction done by the whole lip, you know, they take the tissue out and they test all the tissue. And so that way, if there is anything there, they, you'll have a lot of tissue to look at rather than just poking 12 or 14 or 16 holes in it.
Heard of that trick. That doesn't sound very desirable at all. Now, I think they said 12 biopsies or something. Oh, my gracious. It's in 0TR. Well, what are you going to do the rest of the day, Jerry? I'm already been out the chickens and took care of them. I went up and bought 2 sacks of feed for $44. And the last 3 times I've been buying feed, they haven't even laid an egg. So I talked to the lady up there. She said she had Isa Browns. I said, well, that's what we just bought. And I said, they're not old enough to lay yet, but maybe next month. And she said, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if it was till January or February, because they don't lay as good when it gets cold. But I told her we had those speckled Sussex, and she said, yeah. She said, I don't care for those that much. Well, Bernice found those online, and they're supposed to be a real good egg producer. They did good for a while, but now they sure ain't. And I'm getting tired of spending money and not getting any eggs. She said she's getting about 6 out of 9 chickens every day. And to give them some corn and oats. Well, I did that, and they stopped eating the high-protein food, which helps them get over the molting, you know. And so I thought I was doing wrong. She said, no, just don't give them very much. So I give them a little bit today and let her go at that. But that's been about the highlight of the day, Jerry. Nothing much going on up here.
Dominickers, are they pretty good layers or not?
Can't comment on. I don't know. Bernice knows them better than I do. These Isa Browns were developed somehow with a pharmaceutical company or something's help, and they can lay as many as 2 eggs in a day, so the chicken man told me. But they were a little more money. But they're supposed to be real good layers. They're a pretty chicken. They're brown and white. And very, very active. My neighbor said he read where they need 12 or 13 hours of daylight. So I went out and changed the timers. And that's what I got them set for now. And they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, whether they like it or not, starting yesterday. And I don't shut it back off till 8 o'clock at night. And we'll see if that makes them lay better. Bernice said the same thing. I had red lights in there just for the heck of it. I like red lights. But he said, no, his buddy at work said white lights, so I changed them out. And we'll we'll see if it does any good. This is N0TR.
DJ Steve, my chicken knowledge is limited. Dad, Lynn's grandfather had, you know, a couple of chicken houses out in the country, you know, years ago. And they knew all about those sorts of things, you know, over near Royston, Georgia. But I never got involved in it much at all. I know some of the family had them too, but I said, we never owned any. I don't think we ever, we had cattle, we never had any chickens or anything like that. And so I'm just not very up to date on, not up to date or behind date or know much about them at all, other than some of them do better than others. And, you know, sometimes this will, sometimes it work out, sometimes it don't, especially if you're, if you don't have a lot of them anyway.
14, I didn't really aim to have that many. I wanted about 12. But these black Australops, they're an Australian breed. They lay good, and they lay huge brown eggs, and that's what I like. And they're sure different than store-bought. So those are an option, but they're the ones that pecked each other a lot, and so I got rid of them. But I'm going to give them a deadline. That's DEAD, deadline of February. And if those Sussex don't lay by February, they're going to have a brief conversation with Smith and Wesson.
The neighbor across the street, he hasn't been out much as cold as been, but he's got, I don't know, he could probably give maybe half a dozen out there. He lets them out in his garden out there to peck around and get insects and stuff. And I see him walking around out there. And he must have had a rooster. I know I probably told you so. He had a rooster a while back. That thing would crow in the morning, every single morning, wake me up. And I said, Don, I said, that rooster, I said, that thing's waking me up in the morning. He said, we just a pet. And I said, well, I don't care whether he's a pet or not. He don't even be waking me up at break of dawn. Anyway, he got it then. He was, he got a couple of them. He just used them for eggs, I guess. But he said he had one of his hands out there petting one of them in the lawn chair, and that rooster attacked him two or three times and took a piece of hide out of his arm. I said, what happened? He said, well, he's got his angel wings now.
I'm afraid, you know, it's going to be Glock heaven or Smith & Wesson heaven or Ruger heaven or something. But I ain't feeding them after February if they don't produce eggs. They're not pets, you know, and they cost money.
It's all too common to have with a... We got another neighbor, actually, there in my backyard back here, and they have a coop out there. I think they've got maybe four or five. They don't have many of them, but they don't... You know, all they do is attract snakes and foxes. They don't do anything else. You hear them cluck when they lay an egg and that sort of thing, and they're real close to the back line. They don't bother us, but my next door neighbor, he's got his hex beam up now, and his hex beam is about 2 feet away from the coop. And I told David, I said, man, I said, you start running 1,500 watts, you're going to fry them. You ain't going to have to worry about them laying eggs. You're going to fry them.
Got a rotisserie chicken there on the foot. Bernice spotted one today. She said it had bumblefoot or something like that. I can't remember the name of it, Jerry, but its feeder's swelled up some, so I'll have to look that up and see if there's any problem with that. And she said, no, it was something that was common, but there's only one of them that has it. Well, Jerry, I'll let you go, and I think I'll take another stroll out there and check things out, and thanks for all the information, and the news will be coming up in about 54 minutes, so we'll check that out on that airplane crash. Hope those people walked away, but they hit power lines on the way down because they said they were repairing power lines and the highway, and it was a traffic mess up there early this morning. It was detouring up 25 and I think 191 or something like that. But I'm glad I wasn't in it. I saw a traffic jam up in the mountains up there one time coming back from Cherokee. And they were lined up for miles. I don't like that kind of stuff. Take care, Jerry. In 4DJC and 0TR73.
Time, have a good afternoon. Tell Bernice I said hello. And 0TR and 4DJC clear.